RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's my pleasure to welcome back to our program Ian Smith, influencer and entrepreneur with ventures in the medical and wellness industries, including co-owning Summit Rejuvenation and Recovery CBD. He's a self-published author and public speaker. He has delivered over 100 talks on men's coaching, business, entrepreneurship, and politics. If you've heard Ian on our show already at least a couple of times, well, I don't need to remind you what he's been through, but I suggest if you don't, rather than go on about it now, check the replays menu from our website, dial in Ian Smith and listen to the previous interviews. Ian, it's great to have you back.
It is great to be back, sir. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you in Florida? I know the hurricanes, you know, it's been a few weeks now, but were you affected to any great degree?
Mildly. I live in a pretty good spot in terms of elevation, so we don't have to worry too much about flooding. We got a lot of old trees around us, though, and they're about two times the height of the house. So, luckily, just some down branches and stuff. A lot of people got it far worse.
All right, not nice to hear that a lot of people got it far worse, but nice to hear that you weren't too badly affected and you came through. Okay, so you had that, and then, boy, after that, Trump wins.
Yeah.
So that spins your head.
Yeah, you know, I definitely kind of saw this coming. It's hard to imagine a scenario where Kamala could have won just based on the past 4 years, what's happened to pick any political topic, the economy to the safety of our streets to the border. I mean, they had a really rough 4 years, whether that's on purpose or just due to incompetence. But I didn't see a scenario where Trump wasn't going to win.
The scale of the victory, though, because it's quite the victory, right?
yeah. And again, it's good to see that people got out and voted and were sick and tired of it and voted in mass. It was quite a large gap in terms of the electoral vote count at the end. And, you know, again, that should come as no surprise, but it is good to see because, you know, we kind of thought that was going to happen in 2020. And obviously something happened, but it wasn't that.
Yeah, that's something that happened. Are people talking about, because if you look at numbers who voted for Trump this time around, compare it to the last election, 2020, and the numbers Biden got, there's kind of about 10 or at least 10 or 12 million votes that seem to have materialized from somewhere.
And they didn't seem to show up this time around. You know, who knows what their thought process was, but obviously the 2020 elections were riddled with unanswered questions. And I think a lot of people came to the conclusion that there was some foul play in there. And that's, you know, that's something that happens everywhere. There, you know, there's foul play in elections everywhere, but the scale that we saw it on, I think, you know, maybe was too big to repeat. You know, they had to pull that off. And I think even though they didn't really get caught, which is kind of disappointing, it was understood that they had done it. And, you know, even Trump's team, I know that they did quite a bit of on the ground work to watch these people a lot closer. And maybe that was enough to persuade people not to come up with 12 million extra ballots.
Well, they must have known what was coming then. If they couldn't fiddle it, they would have known that he was going to steamroll over them. That's what's happened. Okay, on to the picks and what these picks mean, because people are trying to gauge where does he come from this time. He's only got one term. He's got nothing to lose. He's at the time of his life where he's got kind of nothing to lose. So he's picked certain people. What do you make of it all?
I can't say I'm too happy with what I've seen overall. And there's definitely some split factions among the right in America. There's Trump's base that will sort of co-sign anything he does. And there's going to be a large number of people with that. Trump's a guy that has a lot of, you know, charisma to him. And there's a lot of people who will just blindly follow it and they'll make any excuse for it. And there's a lot of us throughout the right who are very, very critical of a lot of these appointees, people like Marco Rubio. There's more bad than good, in my opinion.
What's the problem with Rubio? What's the problem you have?
You know, a lot of these guys, at some point, they were anti-Trumpers. They're very pro-war. You know, nobody in America wants to be involved in these wars anymore. You know, nobody wants to be involved in Ukraine. Nobody really wanted to begin with. We're 2 years into Ukraine at this point. And you know, the American people are really tired of politicians putting everybody else first. So I think people are wary when you have people like Marco Rubio, who, you know, this guy's been a war hawk for a long time, and he has really not been the type of politician I think that people on the right really, really want. You know, and today Matt Gaetz just dropped out for his nomination for attorney general.
What happened there? Because a lot of people were, you know, celebrating that possibility.
Yeah, it seems to be that they're, you know, I didn't look too far into it, but there's some unhappy women who seem to, you know, claim that I think it was paid for sex or something like that. And, yeah. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that they blocked the report coming out from the Senate committee. You know, so that's not a good sign. And Republicans blocked it. So I don't know. With these things, it's hard to tell. You know, it's that's like the easiest way to tear a man down.
Yeah,
is
you've
got to
be so squeaky clean, right, Ian? So
yeah,
you're like an angel.
And even the claim of it, you know, all you have to do is call a man a sexual deviant. And there doesn't really need to be a whole lot of truth to it, because by the time the truth comes out, everybody's already made their decisions and moved on. And that's always been a political weapon. So, yeah, I mean, you at this day and age, you have to be squeaky clean, because that stuff will come up. It's an effective weapon. We've seen it time and time again. And I guess there was enough there that that he pulled the nomination. You know, sometimes whether or not, you know, anything happens, sometimes the team around you will say, you know, for the good of the movement, yeah, I think we need to, you know, abandon and move to other nominees. And I know there's a bunch of other good nominees. You know, Gaetz is a guy who I like a lot of, you know, what he said. He's not a big fan of these foreign wars and stuff like that. So I like seeing that kind of stuff, because, again, the war stuff gets annoying to talk about, but it becomes such a burden on us politically, you know, when we're beholden to Israel and Ukraine for all of this money. It does affect even other areas, even though Matt Gaetz, you know, wouldn't be involved in that. He would be attorney general.
Yeah. His hairstyle reminded me of someone, you know, an Elvis impersonator or something, with the cream in the hair. I don't know if that's a confidence, projection of confidence or power. But anyway, maybe you can get a job doing that. All right. What about this Tom Homan, who is the director of immigration enforcement, or will serve as border czar, let's say. I've seen a few clips of him. He's no nonsense. No nonsense.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people are happy with that. They're happy with what Trump has proposed as sort of a plan. There's not a whole lot of people that aren't against a heavy-handed measure there. And that's sort of what this guy Tom's been talking about, and it goes in line with what Trump has been talking about. You know, I think that's probably top 2-3 issues for the American population at this point is, you know, we've had 4 years of who knows how many millions have come over. And there's these people in our country, and, you know, these aren't the people that come here typically, or it's not. A lot of these guys are young military aged men, undocumented, and, you know, they're being propped up by the government in a lot of areas. But, you know, when you invite these people over the border and treat them as migrants and, you know, put them up in homes and then all of a sudden stop paying for that, you know, those people tend to turn desperate. And we all know what desperate people do. You know, that usually converts very quickly into crime. And you've seen that the current administration was busing these people all over the country, and you were having nice neighborhoods that were sort of subjected to just at the very least, a culture shock. And in a lot of cases, an increase in violent crime, rape, burglary, things like that. So I don't think there's a lot of people who have a problem with that pick. I think as long as the job gets done, that it's something that we're all happy to finally see happening, because it's not very hard to fix that problem. I mean, you know, we never had a problem with it before.
That's what's so crazy about it, Ian, from afar, but also I'm sure the average American, is everyone knew it was happening. You could see the pictures of it. Everyone knew about the distribution of these people into various parts of the country, and then you have to ask, well, why there, and what does that mean? But also the just no enforcement and just fudging it, and they didn't even really deny it. So you've got to ask, what was it all about? That was a willful move, wasn't it, to dilute certain culturally? And you're talking about young men, fighting age men. Well, they're usually the least desperate of desperate refugees. It's usually women and children, old people oppressed, fleeing for their lives. So something's up here. Do you think that they'll get to the bottom of this?
Personally, I wouldn't be satisfied until the people that allowed this to happen, because, you know, this isn't a mistake. I think there's a very clear difference between, a policy that's meant to do one thing and turns out to be a bust, and then policy that's just blatantly, you know, as you said, everybody could see that this wasn't just, oh, man, this is such a hard problem, we can't figure it out. Everything that they did exacerbated the issue. And, you know, I think not only should we get to the bottom of who was calling the shots and really look into what the internal communications were between these people, but these people need to be held responsible. This isn't a, whoops, we messed up the border and thank you, Trump, you know, for saving it. You know, you guys sabotaged the border. And there was a definite plan behind why these things just don't happen. So what was the motive and who was really behind it are two questions that need to be answered. And then those people do need to be held responsible. You know, you can't hide behind the cloak of office and just, you know, pretend that this was a mistake. It was very, very clear it wasn't. And I bet you if they start pulling internal communications that they'll see that, you know, there was a malicious intent to it, because it did. It ruined a lot of people's lives. We just had a sentencing the other day, a young woman who was, you know, brutally killed by an illegal immigrant. He was finally sentenced, you know, and it took years to happen. And it's like, there's no satisfaction for anybody in that, you know. Well, okay, cool, he gets locked up for life, but like, these things should have never happened. And there are stories like that all over the country. And it's not just United States. You see it in a lot of the Western world. You see it in Europe. England's having major issues with it, where just the amount of rapes that are happening are just unbelievably bad. And those people, they do need to be held responsible for it. Because if they're not, then what's stopping them from doing it again when they have another window of opportunity? Because, you know, that time will probably come.
Yeah, if Steve Bannon can go to jail for what? Was he in for 3 months or something?
Exactly.
On a very minor technical offense, even if it was one, then the facilitation of what happened at the border, that's, you're in the clink for the rest of your life, aren't you? That's the slammer for good.
And I think that's the nicest thing that could happen to you.
Yeah, right. Because it's treasonous, is it?
It is. It's exactly what it is, because whatever the reason is, if you figure out in honesty what that reason is, that reason had very treasonous intent. You know, there was the blatant destruction of our national sovereignty, working against the interests of your country. And, you know, we see a lot of that these days. And I think people have become so normalized to these politicians who don't really have allegiance to their own countries. It's just an allegiance to however much money they can make. And however powerful they can become. And those people, you start trying people for treason, and I bet you it'll happen much less.
Yeah. Yeah, the old deterrent factor. Yeah. A lot of unwinding that one. All right, to the inevitable, there must be inevitable deportations following, and huge numbers. So that's almost a military operation, isn't it? And how will that go down? Will the American public support that, or do you think there'll have to be some care on how that looks? Because you don't want to look like you're breaking up, you know, mothers and fathers and little kids, and you can bet that there'll be some, you know, heart-tearing scenes like that put up by whoever. So is military the only thing of scale that can do this job?
You know, I think for an operation that big that you have to have at least some military backup to that. Because that would be difficult to hand over to local police. That would be difficult to hand over to, you know, the United States Sheriff's Department would need to be expanded rapidly for that. The marshals. So I wouldn't be surprised if the military got involved. And I think in terms of execution of that, I can't see a more effective way of doing it. You know, if the ultimate goal is to just get all these people out as quickly and as efficiently as possible, I don't see another way where you could get that done in an effective manner. I think the American people support it. Enough of them do that. That I think, even though they will take fire for it, because, you know, people are always going to have pushback. I don't see anybody who opposes it like hiding people in their homes. And, you know, because these people didn't offer their homes when, you know, the refugees moved into their neighborhoods. So I doubt that they'll be helping them out. You know, I think it'll be more of a, you know, just whining about it than anything. And, you know, it's unfortunate because you will have some cases where you break up, you know, situations. But there's more importance in regaining our national sovereignty if we continue down that road. If any country continues down that road, your culture will be washed away completely. Your value system will be washed away completely, and your society will go with it. There's not a single case where we've had a flood of refugees into a Western country where that Western country did better as a result of, you know, millions of undocumented people coming in. It's just not the way that the system works. So I don't think that, I think you'll have resistance. I hope they do it as efficiently as possible, honestly.
You'd have to send them back to their countries, though. You can't just put them all on the Mexican side of the border and say, see you later, have a great life.
Well, and I'm sure it's going to be an insanely complex, undertaking, because a lot of these people, they don't have to tell you where they're from. You know, they can, you know, these people have gotten used to coming here and being very bold, and just knowing that, that there's some heart to the American people that, you know, that they do have difficulty in, you know, we couldn't just drop them off. So how that process works, you know, I know the Mexican government isn't going to be thrilled with any of the ideas, but at the same time, they let them walk through their country.
Yeah, they must have known they could slap them on the way back.
So yeah. It's almost like, who cares what you think? You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if I care too much about what the Mexican president thinks about how we get people out of our country when 99.9% of them have come directly from theirs. Maybe that's an incentive for you to work on your borders as well. And figure out the problem so that we don't have to have the type of border situation that we have with one of our neighbors.
Making America healthy again, that would that would have your interest in for sure.
What
do you say about RFK, what he's been saying, what this means is it's like a direction ahead for, well, it's a cultural change, isn't it? Eating is culture. There's a cultural change that has to occur, not only where you are, but in many Western countries, if health is to improve.
Yeah, you know, I think the overall cultural message is a very, very good one. You know, people tend to rely just on politics for change, you know, but politics is downstream of culture, you know, so the saying goes, and it's good to see politics getting involved with helping to change the culture too. So I don't know everything he's got planned. I've heard a couple things, but going after our food system and the conglomerate structure of what, you know, 90% of what is available in our supermarkets, you know, I don't know how it is in Australia, but I know most of the stuff that is in our food is banned in other Western nations, you know, throughout the European Union. And we've got all these health issues for such a prosperous country. People just keep getting fatter and sicker. And cancer rates are higher, and pretty much everything is on the rise. And it's very clear that These things aren't natural, and that they are the cause of a number of factors, one of which is absolutely our food. You know, so I'd love to see them tackle that. I would love to see these big corporations, you know, sort of neutered in their ability to manipulate the markets. You know, it shouldn't be a challenge to go find good food. You know, it's like, you know, to get good food, you've got to go to like a farmer's market, and you know, I don't get my milk from the grocery store. I get it from the market, and you know, we should have access to these things. But you walk into the supermarket here, and I mean, more than half of it isn't even food. It's all processed, you know, everything. So I'd love to see them tackle that. And again, with the vaccine stuff, you know, we've all had a taste of the worst of the medical industry and health with the COVID vaccinations and all that. And, you know, I'd love to see some shakeup in that industry as well. You know, it's not about undoing Western medicine, but making it maybe not so profit driven so that we can have a healthcare system in this country that, you know, benefits people and doesn't bankrupt them, you know, because there's any number of issues. So I'm excited to see what he does, and to see not only what he wants to do, but how much he can actually get done, because I'm sure there will be some serious pushback in terms of the companies and organizations that run those industries.
He benefited the Trump campaign, no doubt about that. So did Tulsi Gabbard. I think she cleaned up another area of potential votes, brought them Trump's way, obviously. She's been rewarded. There is also some names that our listeners might recognize. Pete Hegseth, who is, I think, possibly going to be his next defense secretary. Huckabee's in there. Of course, he's no stranger to politics. So any other of those appointments you want to make a comment on?
Pete Hegseth, I met Pete personally. He actually covered the story of the gym. He was one of the first people there. You know, Pete's an awesome dude. And he, you can tell he cares deeply about this country, and he's fought for this country. And, you know, so I'm excited to sort of see a fresh face in there, you know, instead of getting these crotchety sort of military brass. You know, to have somebody who would be fresh blood, I think, is a good thing. You know, Tulsi Gabbard, mixed opinions about her, but, you know, she's intelligent, and she has an ability to approach politics in a way that tends to sort of diffuse division and diffuse, you know, the separation and sort of anger. And I think that's a really, really good thing. And I do like, you know, I don't want Trump's policies to be pulled left, because we've been left for many, you know, for 4 years, and we've been pulled hard left. So I don't want those people coming over from the left, like RFK and Tulsi, to pull the party left. But I like the fact that it's not all people of the same mind. It's got a diverse group of people who come from different backgrounds, who may now fall, you know, together in a bigger group, you know, for a bigger mission, and, you know, be able to rifle through differences and to focus on where they can put their energies collectively. So, and you have not seen that in American politics in a very long time. We hope that some good things will come of that.
And just to finish up on, in terms of global politics relations, Trump's been almost given a hospital pass, hasn't he, at this stage by Biden with the moves in Ukraine and the, you know, the green lighting of missile use, which the UK has done as well, kind of setting it up for what? What do you think?
You know, again, that's something that I think should be looked at under the lens of treasonous. You know, these everybody, you know, globally, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas have all signaled that that they want to come to the table with Trump. And that's very public, too. That's not something that they didn't call him and tell him that. They announced that. That's national news. And then for this administration to greenlight Ukraine to keep attacking and escalating I think that should be looked under the lens of treason as well. You know what the American people voted for somebody who has promised to end the wars. They've talked about it in terms of all of the parties involved already and signaled that they want to come to an end. And you're going to try to backdoor the efforts by equipping Ukraine with weapons that, as of right now, they do not need. If everybody's signaling that they're looking to come to the table, there should be no escalation. It doesn't mean that that has to be a ceasefire today, but and they did it in England too. They gave them some missiles from Britain as well. Thankfully nothing has come of it yet, but that is absolutely the wrong move. And again, that's not a oops kind of thing. That is a very deliberate action, and these people need to start being held accountable for it, president of the United States or not.
Ian Smith, it's great to catch up with you again. Thanks for coming back on our radio station for another chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.